You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. We haven't done this in a little bit. Throughout the offseason, we've brought you some 2019 NFL Draft prospect interviews. Once free agency ramped up, we kind of got a little sidetracked. You know, we had a Nick Foles story to cover and such for the Jaguars, but we have another interview for you today. And that, it's a little bit different this time. It's not, you know, Dalton Reisner or Jawan Taylor, who, you know, have been in the talks of the Jaguars very early offensive line pick. Rather, we've got a local prospect coming your way. I say that because he came from just outside the Jacksonville area, played football at Pedro Menendez High School of St. Augustine, went off to Iowa State, just, you know, a little bit northwest of here, and by a little, I mean a lot, to play defense for the Iowa State Cyclones in the Big 12. And his name's Willie Harvey Jr. He was a linebacker there at Iowa State, for 5 years, played for the past four, starting a good bit of football, playing in 49 games. Willie, I really appreciate you coming on with me today.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. The pleasure is mine.
So I want to go ahead and get right to it and talk about your experience here just outside of Jacksonville. How important is it to you to represent Pedro Menendez High School at the next level in the NFL, considering they only have one other player that's been drafted in the NFL draft since they started the school in 2000?
I would just say for me, a lot of kids back there really look up to me and the journey I've taken and what I've been through. And just to break the cycle of not having guys make it to the NFL. I mean, we've had a couple guys make it to the collegiate level, but that's it. And I kind of want to break that that barrier of not making it to the next level. And I feel like I have a good shot of doing that. So I just want to do it to show the guys back home and the guys back in my high school that it's possible through endless and tireless hard work and effort and just the want to factor. So I feel like that's all.
Now, what led you to Iowa State coming, you know, all the way from St. Augustine? I know you had some offers. I believe Florida Atlantic was one, Southern Mississippi. So a little bit closer to home, but what led you all the way out there into the Big 12?
Right. Well, I took all those visits, and they were cool and everything, but I don't know, something in me just told me to get as far away from home as possible, just to experience new things. I mean, I took a visit to Iowa State, I think, a week before signing day, and I liked the experience. I liked the university. They had good programs. And so I took a chance, and I don't regret it. I mean, Iowa State has been a great experience for me, and it showed me so many more aspects of life that I would not have experienced if I hadn't came here. So
now, there was some massive change to the Iowa State defensive scheme in 2017. In midseason, defensive coordinator John Heacock came in and essentially asked his staff to make a list of the best players for the defense, jot them down, and that's what they were going to roll with. Came away with three defensive linemen, three linebackers, two cornerbacks, and three safeties. How dramatic was it for you to learn all this defensive scheme changes mid-season, and what were your responsibilities in that defense?
Right. I mean, going into college, change is something you something that is very familiar and something you get to learn real quick because it happens so often. I mean, we've changed defensive schemes, defensive calls in practices plenty of times, and I can recall us doing it in a game sometimes. So, obviously, moving to a 3-3-3D line front was a bit dramatic and different, but I feel like for the most part, a lot of guys grasped that change and just ran with it. I mean, for me, it was more so of being involved in the box to now out covering slots. And that was something I had to get used to. I mean, for obvious reasons, you're not stuffing the hole as much. You're, out moving your feet, rerouting guys. So that was probably the biggest thing for me, just playing in a lot more space. But I feel like it helped me more than anything because I have that experience in each three positions now. I mean, I've covered guys. I played in the box. So I feel like it helped me in the end run.
So would you say that that would make you more comfortable with the idea of playing all three linebacker positions at the next level? Because teams are looking for guys that they believe can be position versatile. I mean, you look at Miles Jack here in Jacksonville. He started his career as a Sam, which he never played at UCLA. Eventually moved to Mike, and there's discussion of him maybe playing some Will and all going into his fourth season.
Right. And that's something college has taught me as well. Never get comfortable just doing one thing, because if you are blessed and if you're gifted enough to make it to the next level, you might not play something that you're used to. And like me moving to Mike, then moving to Will, then switching to Sam for my last 2 years while playing Mike and Will in some packages really helped me, because you never get a comfort level to where you're like, okay, this is my position. I got like, no, it's, can you play this position? Can you master it? Can you move on? And can you remain to compete at a high level at this position? So I feel like me moving around a lot in college really helped me. And I feel like a lot of teams like what I did. And I feel like it paid dividends, because I did all three at a very high level, I feel like. So
now you mentioned that you went out and started covering some slots, and obviously that can get a bit tricky when you're playing in the Big 12, which is known for its prolific passing offenses. So Right. Who were some of the toughest receivers that you ever had to cover after making that change on defense that gave you that space responsibility?
I would say not toughest, but one who you really had to be technically sound on, just as far as rerouting, where to drop, just because he was so dynamic and so fast, was probably Marquise Brown from Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if the guy got behind you, it was a foot race that you probably didn't want to be in, unless you ran like a 4.2 or something like that. but yeah, him, he was really the only like big play guy that really you had to watch film on and stuff like that. I mean, there were a lot of good other players in the slot, but he was probably the most dynamic and the one that you had to really keep your eye on at all times.
Now, when you like you said, you've really learned how to go out there and play a lot more in coverage with those responsibilities, but what would you say your preference is? Dropping into coverage, whether it's man on, whether it's in zone, and making a play in the pass game, or diagnosing the run, coming down and making a play at or behind the line of scrimmage on a run play?
I mean, I love pass dropping. I mean, I love making plays on the ball as far as coverage-wise, but if I had a preference, it would be diagnosing a run play and coming down and making a tackle, I mean, behind the line, or just making a tackle in general. Just that linebacker instinct of just diagnosing run play. I just feel like that's the fun part as a linebacker, because you are a run-first player. So, I don't know, I just feel like diagnosing a run is something I would prefer to do. But, I mean, I could do anything, I feel like, so.
Now let's move on to talking about your pro day. That was just last week, if I recall. I've heard we don't have full results yet. Obviously, it's a pro day that everyone wanted to get a ton of results for, with David Montgomery and Hakeem Butler, yourself, as well as some other talented players. But I heard rumblings of a 4.5, 4.6 range, and that still comes in better than the average NFL running back dating back to 2000 in terms of combine and pro day testing. So were you pleased with that result, or did you want more? And also tell me about the rest of your pro day and how it went.
I mean, you always strive to be better. I mean, I've ran better times in the 4.4 range, but I mean, I just didn't have one of my best days, but I feel like I had a pretty solid day overall. Could have did better on some drills, some drills and stuff like that. But I mean, I had a pretty solid day, so I can't really complain. My weight was good. All my measurables were on point. So I feel like I had an overall solid day. I mean, you always want to be better in aspects like the 40 and the three cone and all those things. But I had a pretty solid day.
Now, you don't have to disclose any of the teams you've met with. I know, obviously, how this business works is a lot of that stuff you try and keep private. But right. How did meetings with teams go? Were they getting you on the whiteboard? Were they just talking to you a lot about your career, trying to get you to know you personally? There's been stories that come out of the combine every year of, you know, these guys right. getting asked weird questions and stuff like that. But all in all, how would you say that your team meetings went?
I feel like all of them went pretty well. I mean, there was a variance of questions. I mean, some guys just wanted to get to know you because they knew so much about you, but never really got to personally meet you. I mean, and then there was other guys who would test you on curriculum, reaction times, what defense is this, what offense is this based off of the offensive line movement. So it was a lot of different things, but great experience of me just meeting with those guys and just letting them know my passion for football and how this is something I want to do for a long time, and just preaching it to them and them grasping it, and we connected, making a relationship, was really big. And I feel like that just helped me just based off of our conversations.
Now, you know, being a local guy just outside of Jacksonville, I'm assuming growing up getting to watch the Jaguars, they mold. So from the numbers I've put together is I think your size and athletic profile really matches with what they saw in Blair Brown, who, like I said, the versatility, they like him as their Will and Mike backup. They even had him compete at Sam last year. It didn't really work out, but they still like him as a depth guy who can play special teams. I think you fit that mold well. And in 2 years, Brown hasn't broken into the starting lineup. They could be looking to add depth there. So tell me about the idea of playing for the team that you grew up watching and how much that would mean to you.
Man, it would mean a lot. I mean, just getting the opportunity to get a chance at the next level would be a lot. But playing for the Jags or them giving me an opportunity to compete would be an amazing experience. I mean, I grew up going to the games, watching the games. I mean, I can remember when Paul Puzlesny was starting, he was one of my favorite linebackers just based off of how he played. So, I mean, it would be a great experience. And like I said, a great opportunity for me to showcase my skills and what I can do and what I can bring to the Jaguars organization.
My last question for you, you just mentioned Paul Puzlesny is a guy that you really like to watch playing linebacker. Were there any other linebackers that you really molded your game after, either current or former?
I mean, you always have the greats like Ray Lewis and Brian Urlacher and all those guys. But me personally, I just take what I take from literally anybody. If I see you doing something and it works, you can play high school football, NFL. It doesn't matter. Like if I see something and it works, I'm gonna try it. Because I feel like you can never stop learning. So if you're doing something positive at the linebacker position, I'm going to try to take bits and pieces from your game and try to implement them into mine. But I like watching those smaller, faster linebackers like the Telvin Smiths and the Kawan Alexanders because they really show that size does but doesn't matter. It's all about how you play, your finesse, your speed, and how aggressive you are. So those are the two guys that, if I could mold my game after somebody, it would be those two guys.
Well, Telvin Smith, I mean, like I said, I think I see you as a will fit here. I think that would be ideal. And what better, you know, entering the NFL to learn from a guy that you really like to watch and try and mold your game after, right?
Right, yeah, no doubt.
Well, Willie, I really want to thank you for coming on with us today. it's cool to be able to get the perspective of a local guy turning into what could be the next star in the NFL. Best of luck to you in your draft process, and we're looking forward to hearing your name get called, whether it's Jacksonville or with any of the other 31 franchises. But the bias leads us to want to see you in black and teal next year.
Thank you for having me, man.
And that'll do it for today's episode of Locked On Jaguars. Make sure to follow along with Willie's story. You can find him just looking up Willie Harvey, researching him. Get to watch some highlights and some film on YouTube. Really good player. We're looking forward to seeing him at the next level. And we will catch up with you guys later this week with a lot more draft content here at Locked On Jaguars.